Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
I was just telling Brother Moses there's nothing wrong about tomorrow. Young people already think about tomorrow. That's wonderful. Yes. There's a lesson today, the Sabbath school lesson. We were very blessed because I believe the Holy Spirit took over our brother Jacob, Brother James, and the Lord blessed us with a beautiful lesson. Very theological, very deep. And I was concerned. I was back there in the office concerned because I says, I think Brother James is going to say everything that I have to say to the sermon. And so the sermon and the lesson has something in common. And I hope that we all be blessed. Today is the best day of the week.
Amen.
Why? Because it's my Abba's day, your Abba's day. So it is happy. So when we say to somebody the word happy, that comes in Latin and it's supposed to be blessed, blessed Sabbath. And when you say to somebody happy Sabbath, basically what you mean is have a blessed Sabbath, because it's not possible for us to be happy without being blessed. Okay? And so now what do you see? There is a road, and I don't know if you need to wear glasses, but if you are like the Father saw someone coming far off. And he looked, and then we will know today why we call this the Good Father. Remember we talked about the Good Shepherd, we talked about the Good Mother, which is the church. And today, we will talk about the Good Father. You realize, many of you, probably all of you, when you read Luke 15, you think that Jesus is talking about three parables. Don't we all have a feeling that like he's talking about three parables? I have something for you to notice today as we read the text. There is a word that makes a lot of difference in how we perceive all those three parts of a story. A good shepherd was the first one that we mentioned. Now, you notice that we did not talk a lot about the sheep. If you look at the Bibles, and many, you know that the titles on the chapters are not inspired. They are just somebody who did a translation. They put the titles there to help us visualize what it comes next. And so it says the lost sheep. But we don't realize that it's not about the sheep at all. It's all about the shepherd. And then about the woman. We talk about the coin is not about the lost coin at all. It is about how does the woman react when somebody needs compassion and needs to pay the cost to find. And then, of course, we mentioned the same functions, not only of the Good Shepherd, but also the woman. They are identical, and also the Good Father has an identical responsibility towards the lost one. And we put here one who herds, guards, and tends sheep, one who cares for the and guides a group of people, and one who protects and provides nourishment, and one who directs and instructs. Those four things, it can be used the same thing for those. Don't worry, it's coming up again. I'm going to put again, sister. And here are the four ones. The same thing for the woman. The same thing for the shepherd. It is exactly the same thing also for the good father. So Jesus Christ, as you know, then it says all the tax collectors and sinners, a bunch of nobody wants anything to do with his people. The ones that are being hated by everybody. Some of them even felt like they deserve to be hated because the function that they have and how the people perceive them. Some of them, these tax collectors, were perceived by the Jewish people as traitors because they collect taxes not only for themselves, but they also collect tax for the Romans. So they basically were working with the enemy. And you know, they despised them for that. It says they drew near to him. They came near to Jesus Christ. Why? Because they want to hear him. Why they didn't go to the Pharisees? Why they didn't go to church? Because the church despised them. The leadership of the church despised them. They have no place to go, but suddenly somebody showed up offering them hope. So they came close to him. Would you? If everybody else rejects you, but somebody says, no, come, I accept you, you come. And so they came to hear him. That is verses 1 to 3. Verse 2 says, then the Pharisees and the scribes complained. They always complained. And when they were not complaining, they were picking up stones to throw. They always find something wrong with everybody. Have you met people like this that is everything wrong about everything, about everybody except moi, except me? Yeah, that's French for me. This man receives sinners. That's why they were complaining. These people, this individual is giving hope to the hopeless. This individual is offering help to the one who needs help. So what is wrong with him? We hate him because he is making us look bad. And to be worse is that he eats with them. I don't think that the Pharisees and the scribes were jealous of Jesus eating with some low-class people. But they were jealous because some of those tax collectors, they were rich people. And they had banquets, and Jesus had been invited to those banquets. And that made the Pharisees jealous. They didn't like that. And so they hate him. So he spoke, have you noticed the word now? What does it say there? It's not T-H-E-S-E. It's T-H-I-S. He spoke one parable with three different aspects. There actually are not three parables. There are one parable with three different faces to it. Because he tried to accomplish one point. And that's the point that we'd like to share with you this morning. What is the heart of this whole message? Why Jesus took three different aspects to say exactly the same thing to these people? Let's see what Jesus said. Of course, the first part that he initiated, he talks about a shepherd. He talked about the sheep that is lost and 99 that does not need it to, 99 is still safe. Now I need to go after that one. But I have 99. Why do I have to go and put at risk? But he went. That shows compassion. Amen. And can you see the sheep over there? Way far, but it's there. Yeah. Okay. Then he talks about the woman. The woman also moved by compassion, looking for the lost. She has 9. She did not ignore the fact that she has 9, but she went for what happens to her? How could she find that coin? Only with the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the light symbolizes, the word. She says she light the light, and then she cleaned. How did she know that she needs to clean the house? Because the light told her. The light is the one who tells us what needs to be cleaned. And so the Holy Spirit. So first the shepherd. Second, the Spirit working with the church. The light is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, she found, like the sheep was found, the coin was found as well. And what we see, as always, there is a cost. All of them involve cost. And so to find the lost, we need to pay the cost. And that is compassion. It's not possible for us to find the lost unless we are moved by compassion. So, in John 15, verse 10, Jesus says this, likewise, I say to you, there is joy And by the way, every single time that he said a lost was found, you see there was joy, there was celebration. He says, let's celebrate, because there is joy in heaven, there is joy in earth, there is joy everywhere when somebody is saved. By the way, the word joy starts with a J, and everything that starts in J, most of the things that start in J in the Bible, is a symbol for Yahweh. So I won't be surprised that joy has to do, because it comes from Yahweh as well. Joy is a product that only those that have God in them can have a real joy, the way God's offered joy. So there was joy. He says, one was found, there was joy. Joy here, joy in heaven, joy everywhere. The neighbors, everyone was called to celebrate, because this sinner, one of them, has repented. Therefore, compassion was offered to that person. He accepts, he repents, or she repents, and then there was joy. Then he comes to you notice when you're trying to tell somebody a story, you start with the soft, and then you come to the stronger point. And the stronger point is when he talks about a father who had two sons. Sadly, most people miss the older son and talk about only the younger son, and even call the whole thing the prodigal son. And we go on, you'll be amazed how many people that are not even Christians, never have ever touched the Bible, and they know about this story, and they call it the prodigal son. But I'd like to say to you this morning that it's not about the prodigal son at all. The Holy story, all 3 points, it's about the compassion that a God that we serve feels for each one of us. The Holy story is about the character of God. You see, God has been, when Satan attacked humans, he attacked also the integrity of the character of God. Remember the first thing he said to Adam and Eve? God knows good and evil. Implying that God is both good and evil, the yin yang, you know, the two sides of the coin, one side is better than the other one. And so from the beginning, he tried to destroy the character of God. Because if you destroy the model, you destroy everything else that's copying that model. If you destroy the view of God, you destroy whatever is left for the children to copy. I was reading a study that said the research was done here in the United States a few years back, and they were asking the population, everyone, asked the population, do you believe in God? And they were surprised that at that time, 74% of everyone that they asked believe in God. So they went to another question. They said, would you describe God? And they were shocked. They were shocked that there were even people say, oh, God, let me see, a old man with a big, long beard dressed in red. You know what that means? Some people think that Santa, and the word even Santa means holy. That means it's a clearly implication that is the view of somebody as God. So when you ask yourself, how would you describe God? The way you see God is the way you become. Because we are humans, we copy everything. Everything that we do, we copy from somebody. That's the nature of being human. We copy. Even the animals, they copy. We are born with some DNA, some things we are born with, but a lot of things we copy. And sometimes we copy things that helps destroy our DNA, our original DNA. As my brother James was saying in the lesson today, the Bible says that we are born with the law of God inside of us. We are born to be good. We are born to worship. Those are the natural things that is inside of us. But we are exposed sometimes to so much damage that destroys that was implanted in our hearts. That's why God, Jesus Christ, came and says, I want to show you the Father. I want to show you that the God that you're supposed to believe in is not the God that's been preached in the church right now. And I'm not talking about now, I'm talking about then. And even now too, unfortunately there are at this time some churches that are preaching a God that no wonder why so many people decide to be atheists. There are some people that preach about a God that I don't believe that God either. I can call myself an atheist as if that would be the God. So I don't blame sometimes, because I have talked to some atheists and I have seen that sometimes why the God that they reject is the God that has been projected to them. They have been introduced to the wrong God. That's why they reject, because their DNA that is inside of them that God put there tells them that God has to be good. And yet somebody presents them a bad picture of God. That's why they reject. So he talks about this father and the two sons. The good father, I call it, because he is a representation of God. It says clearly, let's read. I'm not going to detain into details right now, because we open your Bibles, please, in Luke 15, 11 to 32. We're just going to read. Let's read together, okay? Then Jesus said, a man had two sons. By the way, the two sons here is a clear evidence that Jesus Christ was referring to two groups. Those two groups that are in front of him. Pharisees and scribes. And of course, Sadducees, all the religious people, the fanatics, and the sinners. So there's two sons. They are symbolic of those two types of people. Those that are with faith to God and those that are reject God, even though they pretend that they don't. Verse 12, the younger son said to his father, give me my share of the property. By the way, the word property here does not mean property like this piece of land. Because if this will be true, when the father divided, give a land to one and give a land to other, the father will be homeless. So that's not a property here. It talks about the fact that they calculate how many years he has served his father. So it says, give me pay for those years that I served you. And when it says that he divided, he made the payment for both, for the younger and also the older one. But you see, the old one forgot about that. So the father divided the property between the two sons. Now, what happened? The younger one said, wow. And I couldn't imagine that the young man did not even sleep in the night. He kept looking at that money over and over and over again. And Satan started talking. And what is money good if you don't cannot spend, right? So he kept looking at that money. It tickles his hand. He says, what can I do? And now, so he says, I cannot spend here at home. I have to go somewhere. But why did he travel far away to another country? He went to go to a place where nobody knew him, so that he wants to be somebody else that he is not. There he wasted his money in foolish living. This version, New Century Version, says foolish, lasting, corrupted. He went to destructive behavior. He bought what he shouldn't have bought. He spent the money. You know, easy come, easy goes, right? Many of you received a check, or more than one, probably a few checks from the government. I wonder if you ever thought, oh, this is a blessing, I must share. Or you say, let me spend. I have extra money, let me spend. And you know the government was counting on this in order to help the economy. They were hoping that as the people got those $1,000 some dollars or $600, whatever you received, that you would go crazy shopping. And that will give employment, that will give the boost the economy. That was they were hoping for. But no, many people decide not to spend, or some few spend all the money. A time came when there was no food anywhere in the country. And by the way, difficult times always come. Satan is sure of that. They always come. So it's important for us to be prepared for tomorrow, but not let tomorrow consume our life in such a point that we don't enjoy today. Today is the only day that we have. Tomorrow is just a promise. The way you use today, you will make a better tomorrow. But it's about today. Today is the day. And it says, and the son was poor and hungry. Why? Because he chose to be poor. Doesn't make any sense, Pastor. Who is going to choose to be poor? Everybody who misuses blessings, they are making a choice to be poor. A poor man, a poor woman, is a person who does not recognize the blessings that they receive and misuse the blessings that they have. Every single person receives blessings. Everything, even the bad ones. Everyone receives blessings. But what happens? Not everyone knows how to use them. Now, I tried to find one, the most despicable picture, and I found one. This individual has the mud over here. He's dirty. He's stink. He smells worse than the pigs. And this is how down this individual went. Why he went down this far? Because he walked away from a good father so that he could sin. He walked away from the church so he can be involved in the mud. And he got what he was asking for. So he got a job with one of the citizens, and he asked a good job, but look what he got. He said, go and feed the pigs. And the payment was so bad that he didn't even have enough to buy food, so he decided to, I wish I could eat even what these pigs are eating. You can imagine how disgusting that would be. I don't know how many of you here before you became a Seventh Adventist, hopefully you fed pigs. Before I became Seventh Adventist, I had that experience. All the smell, the stench is awful. It is a place you don't want to be close to the pigs because it is dirty. It is smell, this is awful. Sometimes you can smell them at a long distance. Now imagine being there with them every day. It comes to a point that you even want. And look what he says, but no one gave him anything. Do you know why this sentence is here? No one gave him anything. As a contrast to a God who gave him everything. To a father, a good father that gave him everything. You walk away from the one who gives you everything and you go to a place where nobody will give you anything. Guess what happens to you? How many people now could be here where God can give them everything and yet they are another place where they cannot get anything? Finally, he came to his senses. Oh, I like this text. And I noticed that I changed the version because this version is what I like. He came to his senses. He was out of his mind. And by the way, today during the Sabbath school lesson, they were trying to define what sin is. Sin, in a short definition, is an act of insanity. That's what sin is. When you lose your mind, then you walk away from a God who gives you everything and go to a place where nobody's going to give you anything. You come from a table when you can have a feast and then going to eat with the pigs. Can you see the contrast here? What happens to you when you walk away from a God that loves you? You start acting like a pig, you start eating pigs, and you start eating like pigs. It's all a pig business. When you walk away from God, it stinks. Because do you know what it makes things stink? Bacteria. There are dead bacteria. They try to destroy things. That's what it is. The bad smell comes of bacteria eating things. And so what happens is when he was there, death was around him. That's what he smells. It was all about death. My father's work have plenty to eat. Even the workers. And here I am, starving to death. I must have lost my mind. What in the world, what am I doing here? Brothers and sisters, I want you, when you go home, analyze your life and ask yourself this question. Have I stepped away from my Father who gives me everything so I can have a moment of insanity? And I hope that you open your nostrils and smell, because you are going to start stinking when you walk away from Him. Walk around and say, I am out of my mind. And this was the only way that he came to his senses, is because the Holy Spirit touched that seed that the Father put in his heart. Touched, and then woke up. Just like the woman turned on the light. This, I could say exactly, he says, and the light was turned on. And he says, where am I? What happened to me? And he realized, I'm in the wrong place. I don't belong here. And I hope, young people, when you go to a place where you don't belong, that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will turn on that light and will allow you to see that you don't belong there. You are not made to stink. You are not made to die. You are made to live, because the Lord is your Father, a good Father. Father, I have sinned against you. He says, you know what? The way to go back is repentance. The only way I can receive compassion if I repent. Remember Jesus Christ says, there is joy for the sinner who repents. Repentance is a key element of returning. You won't feel like you need to return unless you repent. Because you don't want to say, oh, I want to go to my Father and behave like I'm eating with the pigs. No. When I go back, I need to eat like a king, because I'll be in the presence of a king. Father, I have sinned against God. Oh, he recognized that a sin was not only against his Father, but also against God. He says, against God and against you. The two aspects of the Ten Commandments, God and you. I have sinned against everything that I was raised not to sin against. I am no longer worthy. That's what sin does to you. Turns you into nothing. That's why he was with the pigs. He was nothing. He has to go to nothingness in order to realize how much he needed to go back to. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but let me be just one of your servants. Remember that last part. But let me be just like one servant. So he got up. I don't know how. Because remember, he was starving. He has not showered for a long time. He was weak. He did not have a lot of strength. And he was no longer walking the way he walked before when he was at home. Now, he was walking weak, tired, and clothing. You have flies all over around. He did not look like the one who left at all. And none of us look like the same when we leave the church for a while. This is the part that is very touching for me. So the son left and went to his father. While the son was still a long way off, this is the most revealing, touching part of this good father here. How in the world did the father was even there looking? He was there every day, looking the horizon and hoping that there will be a figure in that horizon that will bring joy back to him. And he looked at that horizon. And what is amazing is that what came from far off has nothing to do with it. It doesn't, there was not a thing that looked like his son. But he was able to see something. He knew the son so well that even with all the trash that the Abaddon, the destroyer, put upon his son, he still could see his son under all that destructive things that it was he was carrying on his shoulders. He says his father saw him and felt sorry for him. Originally, it says, and felt compassion for him. Felt mercy, the desire to give him mercy. Felt compassion for his son. So the father, the son walks to the father. The father runs to the son. Do you see the difference? The father run to him and hug him. And what about the confession? And kiss him. By the way, if you're going to kiss somebody that is clean and everything else, but when you kiss something that smells so awful, you have to have a lot of compassion. His condition will not determine the love that the Father has for him. It will not be a wall. He hugged him and kissed him. And of course, the son says, after he was already accepted back into the family, he says, Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Remember the way he said, the way he practiced before? There is one part missing there. Why don't you treat me just like one of your servants? It's fine. Before he said that, the father stopped him. He said to him, servants, my son needs to be restored completely to the condition of a son. Hurry, bring the best. Not just bring something, but bring the best of the clothes and put on him. You give the best to the best. You give the worst to the rest. You give the best to the best. Clothing here is a sign of righteousness. Dressed him because he is dressed like a sinner. I want him dressed him like a redeemer, a redeemed. Dressed him and put on him. I also put a ring. Show him that he's part of the family. That everything that is mine will be his again. And sandals on his feet. So he had no sandals. He lost everything. He had no ring anymore. No sandals, the clothing. He was like with rags. I don't know if you can see from there. The artist here was very, very good and put the expression of the father as the father hugs his son. If you see the eyes, both eyes have tears in both eyes. It's a very, very well put together picture. And get our fat calf and kill it. Here, the calf is a symbol of the Redeemer. There is no redemption without death, because the wages of sin is death. So here, an innocent animal has to be sacrificed so the son can be received back into the fold. That calf is a symbol of Jesus Christ himself, as he has to give his life so that we can be accepted back into the family. So we can have a feast and celebrate. Celebration. My son was dead. Yes, when you walk away from God, you are dead, because God is life. And whatever God is, there is life. But away from God, there is death. But now he is alive again. Why? because He is where life is. He was lost, but now He is found. So let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Let's have a joy, because salvation, life, is joy. Don't we celebrate birthdays? We celebrate people when they are newborn. Actually, what we celebrate is life. That's what we're celebrating. And so that's what He says when somebody comes back, says, let's celebrate, because he was lost, now he's found, he was dead, now he's alive. By the way, I do strongly recommend that you try to find out when was your baptism. I know that I mentioned this a few times, but I'd like for you to take this serious. Remember when your baptism was, and start celebrating. Because of all the things that you may celebrate in this life, one thing that you're going to take to the eternal life is the day that you were born in Christ. Because the Bible says, and this Jesus mentioned this every single time, He says, and there was celebration in heaven. So in the records of heaven, the date is written in the books of heaven. If you don't remember here for some reason, age or something has interfered and you no longer, when you're going to get to heaven, you're going to find out exactly when you became a heavenly citizen. It was the day you were born into the kingdom. And it says, my son was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he is found. So they began to celebrate. The older son was in the field, was working. And he worked all the time. That was good. And as he came close to the house, he heard the sound of music. And by the way, some of you here may misuse the word dancing here. I did the research. The word dancing here in original is chorus. You know when we say the word that we use for choir? Chorus. This, all that it meant is as a band that was hired to provide music for a celebration. That's all it is. It's not like they were having a good time there. No, please don't start thinking that that's what they meant. So he called one of the servants and asked, what is this all means? And the servant said, your brother, and by the way, Jesus is emphasizing here, your brother. He didn't say the name, his name. He says, your brother. Has, because they also expect him to be full of joy because the brother is back. So your brother has come back, and your father killed the fat calf because your brother came home safely. Your brother, your brother, your brother. You know, your brother. Your brother. Emphasizing the older son was angry and would not go into the feast. All the Pharisees, I can see their face right now. They knew exactly what Jesus Christ was saying. When Jesus Christ was saying, your brother, they look at each other, they look at the tax collectors close by. He is not my brother. And angry. And will not go in. What is the feast? Heaven. It's a symbol of heaven. They would rather be stayed out than go into heaven, because without compassion for the lost, you'll be lost. That will be your cost. So his father went out. Again, the father reaches in, goes running after the son that is returning. Now the son is at home. The father also go after him. So the father is always pursuing those that needs him the most. That is a good father. But the older son said to his father, I have served you like a slave. Tell me one thing. You, the fathers here, some of you may have your children working for you. Actually working for them. Because everything you have, it will be theirs anyway. Right? So this idea, if one of your sons says, I'm working for you, you say, nah, you're working for yourself. Because everything, who pays your bills, right? They are working and I'm looking at them. Yes, they have to understand that it's all theirs. And this is what the good father was trying to say to this son. I have served, he said, I have served like a slave all for these years. When people do things because they have to, they do not enjoy what they do. When you do things because we enjoy doing, then you don't have to work. Some people, they work as like they're having fun, so they don't feel ever tired. They enjoy what they do. And have always obeyed your commandments. I have done. I earned. That's what he's saying. I earned. But you have never given me even a young goat. Pause. The beginning of the story says that the father divided everything and gave to both of them. Where is he, his money? Where did he put his money? Why didn't he go and buy that goat? And could buy many goats. But no, have you noticed when somebody give me more, and they are never happy about anything? You give your children, you give them things, but why you gave this to him and not gave to me? It goes on and on. Be careful, brothers and sisters. If you become over generous with your children, you may give them the assumption they are entitled to things. And there's nothing more destructive when somebody believes they are entitled to everything. Look what has happened to our society today. People are acting, demanding things that they have no right, but they believe they do. Be careful. When you give your children something, make sure that before you handle them anything, that they have the values to understand what to use the blessings that they receive. Because blessings without explanation, without proper education, and can become a curse to them. Be careful how you give. If you give as investment to your children, make sure that they will invest what you give to them. To have at least with my friends, I want to, but your other son, he didn't say by my brother. He already say you are good as dead to me. He already put his brother out of the picture. Your other son who wastes all with your money with the prostitutes, how does he know? Did he follow him? He didn't go there? He was assuming. And you know, when people are controlled by anger, they become irrational. And they make statements that has no sense. Because all that drives them is hate. Your money with prostitutes comes home and you give the best for him. The father said to him, look what the father said to this angry, mean son. He says, son, you are always with me. Always. And all that I have is yours. Everything is yours. Sadly, many people don't see that way. We have to celebrate and be happy. We have to. Because your brother was dead. Brother again, your brother. But now he is alive. He was lost, but now he's found. Brothers and sisters, the Good Shepherd talks about compassion. How God reached out for the lost. The woman, the good woman, also the same thing, same mission. Look for the lost. Jesus Christ said this, I am the door. Remember the church? He says, I am the door. No one comes to the church unless come through me. He says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will not go out and will go out and find pastures. Then he says, the thief, who is the thief? Abaddon. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy, because he is the destroyer. But not God. Not Jesus Christ, because he says, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly, meaning eternally. I am the good shepherd, Jesus Christ says. The good shepherd gives his life to the sheep. Today, this morning, there was discussing about Jesus Christ, the purpose why, and I believe it was very well put the way they put it in the lesson. God, Jesus Christ, some people say Jesus Christ came here to die for us. He didn't come to die. Die was a consequence. He came to live. He came us to show the Father. He says, let me show you what life is all about. Let me show you how blessed you are to be a creature that was molded by God, the beloved God. And he came. And as a consequence, living a perfect life, he was crucified. He was killed. I am the good shepherd. I know. Please pay attention to the I know verb, because he says, I know my sheep. My sheep knows me. I know the Father knows me. Meaning, we are one. And if you've seen the gospel preaches about oneness. Christ with Abba, we with Christ. We are one. And they know me. As the Father knows me, even I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep because they know me too. So I know the Father knows me, the Father knows them, they know the Father knows me. It's all about oneness. And then my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me because they know me, of course. I give eternal life to them. And they shall never perish because they will receive it. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. The devil has no chance. The destroyer will have no chance to take my sheep from my hand. And my Father, he says, and I and my Father are one. If you have known me, he was taught, would you have also know my Father? And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And that was the whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this world, is to show us the Father. He lived a life. Every single miracle that Jesus performed was not necessarily because of the sheep itself. Of course, for them, they benefit also, but was always to restore the image of God. Lord, it says, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. I cannot blame him. I think Philip was right on the money. Right? If we really knew, if we could know the Father the way Jesus Christ revealed the Father to us, then that will be sufficient for us. Why? Because once that we know the Father, we have everything. Everything. We are almost concluding. Jesus said to him, I have been with you for so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. What is Jesus saying? He says, show me the Father. I have been with you. I am Abba. How come you haven't seen me yet? He who has seen me has seen the Father. By the way, please do not misunderstand. Jesus Christ is not saying the Father and I are just one person. No, he's talking about, in essence, the Father and I are God. And God, there's no two ways to be God. There's three persons, but there is only one way to be God. So, how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Every single word Jesus Christ said here applies to us, the body of Christ. We should be able to say everything that I do is because the God in me that resides in me. Those are the works of my Father. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Believe. Or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. For the Son of Man has come to seek which was lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek that which was lost. Brothers and sisters, that is why we know that God is good. I have been studied a few times with people that are other denominations. And sometimes I'm shocked because they talk about two covenants. They talk about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. They say there is a God of the Old Covenant. I want nothing to do with that God. I don't want to do with their health rules, their law, and everything else. I like this new God, the New Covenant. And they make a distinction. They say that Jesus and the Abba of the Old Testament has nothing in common. They don't realize that they're missing the picture. It's just like Philip. They did not know. It's the same. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying. I came here to show you that the God that has created you is the same God that came here to redeem you. Because God is good all the time. And when the great shepherd appears, brothers and sisters, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. Remember he says, I give you eternal life. Amen. And that's what he's coming back to give each one of you. Amen. I hope that you serve a good Father because I know him and I know that he's good. Let's sing together. Yes, he is the one who leadeth me. Yes. Unless you